Hey everyone, welcome back to the Pickup Line. I'm one of your hosts, Ethan, and alongside me, Miss Hannah Vaughn. Hannah, how are you?
I'm great, everybody. Hi, welcome. I'm so excited for today.
The audience is already waiting for Glenn.
Yes, we have a really awesome guest that I'm just so excited to have met her and gotten to like hear some awesome stories and learn about her.
We'll drink with her.
Yeah, with her, learn about her lifestyle, and it's something that's like really always fascinated me and like just piqued my interest. Ethan, I don't know if you remember, I think this was like a couple months back, I asked you, we should cover nudism, and do you remember what you said to me?
No, I don't.
You said, what's that?
Did I really?
You said, what's that? I'm like, I don't know if he like read it wrong or something, but I was like,
I mean,
nudism?
It wouldn't surprise me if I didn't know what that was.
And I just like realized how precious you are.
I mean, I can be innocent at times.
Oh my gosh. Well, today we're going to be covering nudism. I've been wanting to cover this topic for a while. We have a guest who partakes in the nudist lifestyle, and I'm really excited to welcome Gwen B. Fresh today from Nude Radio.
Hi.
Welcome. And if you want to call in today and ask questions, compare stories, or shoot the shit, go for it. 951-364-2430. How you doing today, Gwen?
I'm doing great. This is exciting. I loved meeting you guys last month.
Yeah, that was so much fun. That was really a total blast. So like in a nut, like I guess just if someone was like Ethan and was just like never heard of nudism, what would you say if they're like, what's that?
Right. Because according to Hannah a few months ago, I didn't actually know what nudism was.
So for me, nudism is a life free of the restriction of clothing.
Simple.
Very simple and easy.
Yeah.
Wait, Gwen, are you nude right now?
I sure am. I mean, I'm wearing headphones.
There you go. Okay. She's not nude.
Are you nude around the house all day?
I am. I'll go days without putting clothes on.
No way. Seriously.
Yeah. I work naked. I hang out with my friends naked. I sleep naked. I wash dishes naked. I turn up the heat. And I live in Florida, so it's usually pretty warm.
How did you like discover this lifestyle? Is it something you like always knew about, or did you like, what was that?
So, I always enjoyed sleeping naked. And when my middle daughter was 14, she was just a challenge. And every day it was like a new challenge. And I just decided, instead of like yelling at her or questioning her, I was just going to throw her my own challenge. And I just went, oh, by the way, we're going to a nudist resort for our family vacation. In the back of my head, I'm like, I have no idea if these even exist, but it started the journey. And about 7 years ago, I think it was, I just went, you know, my husband at the time and I, we said, let's check it off the bucket list. And we drove down and I got there. We did a tour of the place and I kind of looked at him. He looked at me. I'm like, worst case, we have a funny story about a naked adventure. And within 10 minutes, I was like, this is the life I want. And
so you liked it right away.
I did. I really did.
And it's natural. It's free, right?
It's very free. It's comfortable. When we do naked karaoke at the pool, I do a version of the song Heathens where I change it to All My Friends Are Naked, Take It Off. Let the sun and wind kiss your skin. You'll never know the joys of being naked until you take it off.
That's amazing. I love that. I actually went to a nude beach for the first time recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cool. I've been wanting to tell you about that, but I figured
how was it for you?
Wait. Did you go naked?
Obviously.
Oh, okay.
Obviously. So it's a nude optional beach. So
right. Like, that's what I figured.
Yeah. They have a nude optional beach. Some people wear clothes and I was actually worried that I was going to be one of the only naked people there, but then I found a spot and I was like, okay, cool. Other people are in it. I was more worried about the peer pressure that like clothed people would have on me. You know what I mean? Like they would make me feel nervous. And once I did it, like I went with some friends who I'd never seen naked before. And then all of us just were like fine with it all of a sudden. It's so I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I was a very naked child growing up. I grew up in a very naked household, very like nude. Is naked versus nude? Is there any kind of like connotation? Is that like offensive in any way?
No. The only thing that we really don't like to hear is colony. You know, like people say, oh, you live in a nudist colony. It's like, no. It's a community. It's a nudist community.
My mom always said that I would grow up to become the leader of a nudist colony. It's like, okay. What even is that? Because I just didn't like clothes. But then, you know, it's not like something I've always been like, I want to be naked all the time. Like I'm super open to it. I guess I've just gotten used to wearing clothes. But now that I've been around friends naked and just have been around strangers naked, I'm like kind of thinking it's not so scary after all.
Yeah. And a lot of people think that we're just a doggy pile of orgy, but I live in a family community. And so that's just not, I mean, orgies happen, but inside closed doors, and there's probably not as many as in your own suburban neighborhood.
Yeah. Orgies will happen whether you're clothed or not.
Yes.
Well, I guess you have to end up unclothed, but you know.
And actually, truth be told, if I really want to get my sexy on, I put clothes on. Like, I actually have more clothes now than when I wasn't a nudist, but it's usually stuff I go, what do I want to carry home tonight?
Yeah. Yeah, you were saying before we went live that, Ethan has a question, so we can come back to my thing I was going to bring it to. I'm so excited.
What did it feel like the first time you went nude?
So the very first moments, what I remember is I'd taken off my clothes and I was just so nervous. And I put them in the trunk of the car. I closed the car and I started walking up the hill. And in my head, it was just like, I'm naked. And then very quickly I went, I'm free. It just was this transformation. And, you know, one of the best moments, you know, I grew up in a very restrictive environment. I'm a formal, very evangelical Christian. I used to be a pastor's wife. I taught purity classes. And so for me, a lot of it was I did not view my body as part of me, but as my enemy. And being a nudist, I suddenly saw my body as part of me and something that I could love and take care of. And then within my first month of doing this, I was sitting in a hot tub. I'm completely naked. There's six guys who are in the hot tub with me, completely naked. I am the only girl. And all of a sudden I went, nobody's raping me. My behavior is not, you know, another guy's behavior is not my fault. You know, yeah. I was raised in that purity culture where you need to dress a certain way. You need to behave a certain way because you don't want to cause your brother to sin. You don't want to cause someone else to, you know, sexually assault you. And I suddenly went, wait a second. This is like the perfect opportunity and nobody's, and it's not like I'm ugly. Okay. So that wasn't the reason.
Yeah, it's interesting how people will just like victim blame and assume that the less you have on, the more likely it's going to happen when we've, you know, studies can show that it literally does not matter what you're wearing. It will happen at any time to anyone, regardless of what you're wearing. It does not factor into it.
It really doesn't. And I've also found that you get a more genuine connection with people when you don't have the barrier of clothes. I feel like the friendships we have now, and again, when it gets cold, we put clothes on. Like, you know, people are like, what do you do when it gets cold? Well, we turn up the heater, we put clothes on. You know, we're not like anti-clothing. We're not anti-clothing. We're just clothing optional. And when we can, we prefer to leave the clothing behind.
And you were saying before we went live that there's people from all different kinds of backgrounds who
are. Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
Interesting.
Yes. You know, you check your religion and your politics at the door along with your clothes. And, you know, I party with people who are of all different, you know, events. I've sat down and listened to evangelical Christians talk about how being a nudist works for their lifestyle. I met a guy who's part of a naked Bible study. One of my friends is a chaplain.
Just say that one more time for me. Naked Bible study?
Naked Bible study, yes.
Naked Bible study.
Naked
and
Bible study.
Were these atheists?
No. These are Christians who were very concerned about the fact that I was not Christian enough, you know, or that I was not Christian at all, you know.
Wow. Not even concerned that you're completely, that everyone's completely naked, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I sat down with really good friends of mine. They were just so cool. But they just stepped me through different Bible passages that they use to show that, you know, in times past, you know, like the story of the disciples who go into fish, they take their cloaks off and they put them by the shore so they don't get dirty. And they're like, they were fishing naked because they didn't want to get their clothes dirty. You know, clothes were expensive and rare. And so they're like, naked is not anything to be ashamed of or anything. So, yeah.
We have a super chat I'd like to read. Thank you, Amit Matthew. Interesting how this varies by culture. When I visited an onsen in Japan, I was accompanied by a couple of naked old men. It was very normal for that setting.
Wow. Interesting. That is very cool. I got to visit Japan 2 years ago, and I went to a number of the bathhouses. Now, in Japan, what was interesting is that in the bathhouses, again, you're naked. You go in, you take everything off, but they're segregated. So the women's bathhouse and the man's bathhouse. But the big no-no is tattoos. If you have a tattoo that is larger than a Band-Aid can cover, you are not allowed into the bathhouse. And it was so cool because they even had a cleansing ritual. So you would, there were these little stools that you would sit on, and then you'd wash yourself with a hand thing. Then you would go and you would take this warm water and rinse it over you, which was supposed to be in honor to one of the deities. And then you would go and you'd sit in this beautiful, you know, and they were all different types. There were some that were like giant potted plants. Like it was like this, like you were sitting in a giant pot, and others were like reconstructed to be like stone rivers. And I even got my son, who was always very like, really, mom, really, really. He ended up going and enjoying it. So I was proud of him.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So does your family, they're pretty aware of your lifestyle and.
Yeah. I'm not good at keeping secrets.
It's a easier way to live if it's something that's safe and possible. So that's wonderful. Did you ever have any body image issues and insecurities going into this? And how has that affected, has that changed at all now that you're, you know, nude all the time?
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I was the scrawny, redheaded, freckled girl with giant glasses because parents wanted to save money and I would grow into them. You know, I grew up feeling like I was ugly, and I felt like my body was ugly. And, you know, I've had a few children, and so I've got stretch marks and I've got some bags, and, you know, I feel like I'm at a happy weight, but I'm no Hollywood model. And, you know, what you realize is that how your body shape is not what's most important. You know, we have people of all sizes. And honestly, some of the larger women are a lot more sensual in their dancing. And, you know, again, it's changed my perspective. I now view my body in terms of what is going to make my body healthy, what's going to make my body feel good. Although I do confess, my one luxury is what I call smile juice, you know, because I like to smile. Yes. Yeah.
That was something I noticed when I started to be around more naked people. I mean, granted, I'm no expert. You've been doing this a lot longer than me. But I have a lot of body image issues and insecurities. And when I went to the nude beach, I think I just kind of stopped. Something shifted. I don't know. I'm seeing girls who I would consider beautiful. And then go, they have cellulite just like me. but like, why don't I see myself that way? You know what I mean? So
yes.
There's no way you can hide any of your insecurities. It's just all out there. And you realize everyone has flaws and no one's really noticing yours.
Yes. Nobody notices. And that's the thing, is that it's funny how when you wear clothes, people notice exactly how you look and how you present. And honestly, I still stress out when I have to put clothes on, and I have friends that help me get
really?
Dressed.
Stress
oh, I clothes? Do. Like, honestly, even like the excursion we were on, my friend helped me pick out my clothes. We wrote down how it went together. I had pictures and I had to like have help to get dressed, you know, like, okay, which shirt is that?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But when you're naked, it's just, you don't even notice each other's bodies. You notice the person. And I really feel like when you take away the clothing and all of these other things that separate us, you come together as humans and really appreciate the amazing stories and energy and perspectives that we all bring. And honestly, this is one of the things I do love, is that, you know, one of the things I loved about being a pastor's wife was getting to meet everybody and to try and help plug them in to where they were happy or where they fit in. And, you know, finding this nudist community has done the same thing for me. I love meeting the new folks, hearing their story and finding out, okay, do you like to play petanque or pickleball? Do you want to do yoga by the pool? Do you want to go to the dances? You know, what are the people that have things in common, and like helping people connect? I just, you know, yeah. You get to know people for who they are, not what they can afford to buy.
Or what, right. How they want to present themselves. It's just
right.
Totally stripped away and they just are who they are.
Yes.
That's really neat. I was kind of starting to feel a glimpse of that. And I don't know. That's just really neat. And there was something else I wanted to ask and it totally lost me. But anyway.
Well, while you think about that, I saw one of the chats come up and someone said false advertising, not naked. So I just want to show that, you know, my foot is naked, my knee is naked. I can't show anything else because I promised Ethan I wouldn't get him banned on YouTube. But,
but she is fully naked right now. Granted, we haven't verified, but I trust her. I've met her. I'm sure she's not lying about it.
I would have had no idea that you were just totally, I mean, so is like wearing clothes, does it just like feel weird now?
It does. It
well,
does.
You played like it hindering. Off really well. I would have no idea.
Yeah, I would have never guessed you were a nudist. Not at all.
Yeah. No. And again, it's not something that I like. I don't hide it, but at the same time, I'm not like, hey guys, I like to be naked. You know.
No. Yeah. It was only till we like went back to the cabin and we're like getting to know each other that I learned this about you, and I was like, that's so cool. And I just figured like, oh, she goes to nude beaches. But like, then I'm like, oh, Gwen like is a nudist. Like,
yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
What's interesting about nudism is I feel like people assume that there's something sexual about it. People associate just naked bodies with sex. And that's something I've always had trouble grasping because I grew up secular and I come from a family like a long line of artists, and so there was always nude art around the house, and my parents, you know, would go from the shower to the laundry room naked. Like we weren't just hanging around naked, we weren't nudists, but it just wasn't a problem if we were. And then growing up and having friends over, and they came from like Christian households, which I know that some Christians can be nudists, but for the most part they'd be like, why do you have naked ladies on the wall? And I'm like, what's wrong with it? It's just a body. And so I've always found that notion really interesting. I can understand it, but it confused me a lot growing up.
Yeah. And I honestly, I think it does a disservice to men, especially, mm-hmm. You know, when you're in this purity culture, it says that, hey men, you are so animalistic that if you see a boob or a butt cheek, not sure if you can say the other word on your channel or not, but
you can say whatever.
Okay, not sure if you see an ass, that you're gonna like pop a Woody right there, and you know you're gonna misbehave. And the truth is that, you know, there's so much more to our sexuality than just boobs or butts or whatever. It's It's about a connection with someone. It's about so much more. Now, at the same time, I can tell you where the naked sex places are. They're fun to go to too. But, you know, I prefer to live, you know, the community I'm in is a family community. We have children, all ages. And I just, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the pool and someone had their granddaughter there who's, I think, about 4 years old. And she was just running around loving being able to be naked and nobody cared. And she didn't care. And she just got to be so, and I thought, how wonderful to grow up just loving your body and being free.
Do you ever meet people who think that's so weird? How could you be naked around kids?
Yes. Yeah. I do run into people who wonder about that. And occasionally there are people who will come and visit that they're unsure about how to handle themselves because they've been taught that it's inappropriate to be around a child who is naked. Right. And, you know, that's really, it's a misconception. It's inappropriate to sexually assault or abuse or molest or treat a child, but being open and free is not. And right. It's, yeah.
I think a lot of people have a hard time separating sexuality and nudism. Sorry. Yeah. Didn't realize you were talking about.
I didn't think about it like that because to me, I would just be like, I never wanting to be naked in front of a child. You know what I mean? It just, maybe that's the way I've been programmed.
Yeah, I think it, there was an interesting blurb I heard from some psychologist. I wish I had it off the top of my head, but he's someone who studied just sex amongst a bunch of cultures, and the cultures where the women are walking around with their boobs out, the men aren't going, whoa, boobs, because it's like it's not sexual. They have not, right. They're not in a culture where they have sexualized the woman's body that way. And he said the only thing that's universal to turn people on, I mean, you're going to be turned on based off a lot of things in your upbringing and your culture and the way you're wired. But the only universal thing amongst all cultures is watching people have intercourse. Is like, what will make people. Yeah. Yeah. But he studied all these cultures of, you know, different variations of exposure.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And the men thought it was weird that Western culture sexualized breasts so much because they're like, that's not a sexual thing. That's for babies. So it's, I don't think a lot of people realize how much of your sexuality and your views on sex is just from
your culture.
It's not. That doesn't mean it's law. That doesn't mean it's the objective truth for all humanity. So I think that's why a lot of people have a hard time separating nudism and sexuality. I mean, take me for example. I grew up in a nude household, and it never occurred to me that like sex that nudism automatically meant something sexual.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest, and that was even a big change for me from what, you know, I'd been raised to believe. And yet what's interesting is that I have come into my sexuality in a better way once I learned to accept my body for exactly what it was. And yet, you know, now we do have a 9 o'clock curfew, so the kids do have to go home by 9 o'clock. So after 9 o'clock, it can get a little more flirtatious at the dances or stuff, but it's still not, it's not what people imagine. It's, there's probably more going on at the dance floor at your clothes club than there is at our park. And on top of that, if anyone does act inappropriately towards someone, you know, if some guy treats a woman inappropriately or starts to like look at a child, you know, there's like a group of people who are like, oh no, that doesn't belong here. Like, mm-hmm. You know, people say to me, well, are the children safe? And I'm like, they're safer than anywhere else, because not only are most people who are here for the right reasons, everybody who's here forms a family. You know, I tell people coming here is like showing up for a family reunion and meeting all the cousins you didn't know you had.
I love that.
Dude, that's how I can't say to that extent, but the swingers lifestyle, like you get to know some cool people and then they become your friends. And it's not the, that lifestyle is not what you would think it be. Everyone is super respectful, super cool, really good at communicating, like,
yes, and
friendly people that they do other activities together too outside, yes, of just that. And it's nice that they like in try and include, you know, more people or welcomed, you know, us into it.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's and you know, there are swingers who are nudists and there are swingers who are not nudists, and there are nudists who are not swingers. You know, it's and not everybody wants to be a nudist. And honestly, if everybody wanted to be a nudist, I think it would not be as cool.
I don't know. Take the fun out of it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I get to be naked all the time. I love
Take the thrill out. No, yeah. That's awesome. So is there still like a thrill involved, and or is it just totally like you could be naked in front of anyone and you're just like used
okay,
to
so
it?
So I will confess, I had a lot of fun. I have a convertible Camaro, which I think you guys saw because it would not make it up the mountain at the excursion.
Yeah.
But I did take a couple of my guy friends out in that, and all they had with them was a towel in case we got pulled over. And it was really thrilling to be driving around with two naked guys in my car with the top down. I mean, it was dark out, but
that's amazing. That's so funny. So do you ever run into, like, I want to know, like, what are the things that people wouldn't think, like, going into it, and you're like, oh, I didn't plan for this. Like, what happens if someone gets a boner? Do you just, like, I mean, it's natural and just ignore
it? Oh, that's a great question.
Actually, I always wonder.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been doing this about 7 years. I've seen two boners. You know, it does not happen as much as people think it would. When it does happen, now, again, as nudists, some of the etiquette things are always have a towel to sit on, you know, so you always have a towel with you to sit on. I like to wear a wrap sometimes so that I can just have something behind me to sit on. It doesn't cover me up. It's not constrictive. So if you've got a towel, just throw your towel over it or hop in the pool, take a shower. You know, if you're sitting by the pool, roll over.
Just hang it over your boner. Just
ever. Yeah, no.
Decorate it with a towel.
Yeah, you know, it really, a lot of guys worry about that. And one of the sites so our club is part of the American Association for Nude Recreation. And the website is AANR, I think it's .com or .org. I'll give you the full details, Ethan, later, so you can share it. But they have a lot of great articles about what nudism actually is. And there's a number of articles about what do I do? What is the etiquette? You know, and what's interesting too is like, you really do see people for who they are. And I remember one time I had met somebody and I got their number, and I was telling my friend, I was like, yeah, I got their number. And they're like, well, what's their package like? And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't remember. I didn't look. You know, like, you know, it's yeah. just not, you know, I liked who they were as a person, you know,
That's yeah. hilarious. Yeah. I found myself when I was talking to my friends, at least the first time, I was trying so hard to just be like, look at their eyes, look at their eyes, look at their eyes. And then eventually I realized like I had peaked at a bunch of points, and then I'm just like, okay, like I don't feel that like intensity of like, don't look at his penis, you know?
Yeah.
don't look like at her nipples. Me, Hannah, I suspect that's very difficult at first because I would literally have to actively like force myself to be like, don't look, don't look, don't look.
Here's because a trick. Here's a trick. Wear sunglasses. Can't see where the eyes are going.
Yeah.
idea.
Unless the sun's on you and then you realize you're just like staring.
It's like once you tell your brain, at least for someone like me, not to look at something, it's like I have to look at it.
Yeah.
Don't push the red button.
And it's not that I don't look, it's just, and I think early on, so actually the first day that I tried this, my ex and I, we were there, we were walking around, we were getting kind of comfortable. We'd ordered some food and we're sitting at a picnic table, and this old guy comes up, and like, he is covered with hair, and he stands on the picnic table such that his package and his junk were just like right at eye level. And I remember just being like, oh, I'm trying to eat my food. And honestly, he ended up becoming a great friend, and I, you know, adore him dearly. And honestly, he was so used to the life that he didn't even realize what he was doing, right. You know, but that was one of those early awkward moments. Like, I'm not sure what to do. Like, it's right there. And
unavoidable. Oh yeah. My gosh, that's amazing.
And yes, Ethan, that hair goes gray too.
Oh my gosh. No, I was thinking about, so like boners and stuff, and like, I don't know if guys realize this, but women have like unexpected things happen to them too that like aren't, I'm talking about discharge.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude?
I should have warned you, Gwen. Sometimes I just get like full blown, like 0 to 60, like vulgar here, but like,
I think you told you at the beginning, I didn't think there was any topic off limits, and you know, I'm not sure you can go any further than that, and it's not off limits.
Okay, good. Cause I wanted to ask, like, you bring a towel everywhere, but like that's where my brain goes. I was like, what if just suddenly I'm just like, oh, there you go. Like, it's natural. Like, guys, you need to realize that vaginas are self-cleaning ovens, and just discharge just like decides to happen. Just like, it doesn't, like a lot of guys think like, oh, if she's wet, she's horny. It's like, sometimes it just happens.
Right.
So like, it's, I don't know. That'd be something I would worry about.
Isn't that the worst thing, Hannah, is that sometimes you are wet and you're not horny, and sometimes you're really horny and you're not.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a thing. And yes. I feel like it's the same for boners too. Like, sometimes it just happens. And then sometimes when you want it to happen, it doesn't.
Yes.
That is so true.
Is it? Okay. Yes. So like, we're not so different, you and I.
There are times when you're like, dude, you need to wake up right now. You're in the perfect spot. It's time to go. But it's just like, nope, it's not happening. You're like, I get like overloaded easily. So like by stimuli. So if I get too overloaded, then, you know, everything else overloads, if you catch my drift.
Overstimulated. Combined, yes. Overloaded by stimuli, you get overstimulated.
Yes. And then I can't stimulate because I'm overstimulated.
Ooh, I think we're making Ethan blush. I love it.
Just that's a little bit.
Yeah. Just a reminder.
Hannah hasn't made me blush in actually quite some time.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was the real reason for this topic.
Yeah, it was like, let's bring on a nudist.
Yeah,
just a reminder, everyone, the call lines are really quiet today. That is fine because I'm getting quality time with Gwen and Ethan. But if you have any questions for our pro nudist, 951-364-2430, you still have time.
Yeah.
So I want to get to one of the audience questions. I'm not going to put it on screen, but
okay.
This person wants to know, what about people with STDs? Should others wear clothes to protect their secrecy? I would say
that's an interesting question.
So one of the things that, you know, when it comes to like various health issues, if you've got, you know, like you've got something that is, you know, like your shed, you know, like with herpes, if you're shedding, you know, if you've got an outbreak and you're shedding, then, you know, don't go in the pool, you know, don't go in the hot tub, you know, maybe, you know, you might want to wear a little wrap, or you might want to stay where it's not like exposing, but you're not going to spread it to somebody because you're outside and you're naked with it. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't know a lot about STDs, but, you know, I also know, like, we do, you know, you may have different physical disabilities. You know, someone might have a colostomy bag, or they have a diabetes pump, or something of that nature. Do what makes you feel comfortable and stay safe. You know, it's, and be honest with people. You know, if you meet somebody and you want to get jiggy, you know, be honest about what your situation is. But
absolutely,
you know, and again, it's always about your own comfort level. So like at our park, it's clothing optional and it's your own comfort level. And the only place that you're required to be naked is if you're an adult and you're in the pool area. Now, we do not require children to be naked in the pool area, but they are allowed to be. We do find that like a lot of children who have grown up in nudist environments, there is a period of time while they're going through puberty and, you know, there's like the surprise periods or the surprise boners or stuff that they just feel more comfortable wearing clothes because they don't know when their body's going to suddenly go, hi, I'm growing up, you know? So, you know, and that's, you know, and so nobody really, you know, that's just part of the growing up phase. You know, I've had my grandchildren here and, you know, they've enjoyed it. My son, you know, I got him into the bathhouse in Japan, but oh my goodness, the poor guy, he came to visit me. He was here for a month and I was being really good. I wore clothes when I was around him because, you know, I'm respectful, you know, I'm not like I must be naked, you know, but I had gone down to the pool. I had a great time and I was walking back. I was carrying my towel over my shoulder and I walked into the house forgetting he was here. He was in the living room sitting and I just walked all the way through into my room. And then I went, oh my goodness, I just walked through naked. And so I put clothes on and went back out. I said, I am so sorry, honey. And he goes, Mom, there were not enough corners in the room to look at.
It's like, where do I look? Ah!
Yeah. So, but again, you know, as long as you're not, and again, we say the same thing, you know, if you've got an open sore or you've got, you know, like if you've got COVID, stay home, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, just, but you know, nobody's going to judge. And, you know, honestly, what is it? It just is like viruses happen, things happen. Yeah.
I would imagine that a lot of the stigma is maybe a little bit more non-existent. I mean, some STIs are not fun, but some of the worst parts of those is the stigma and the shame surrounding it. So I would assume that a little bit of that goes away when people aren't hiding themselves.
Right. And now I will say that I think there's still, you know, I honestly haven't heard it talked about a lot openly, you know,
there's people talk about.
No. And, you know, and we really shouldn't, you know, I mean, nobody gives you shame because you go to the grocery store and catch a cold, you know?
Right. Exactly. It's,
we have a super chat from Secular Rarity. Hannah, you want to take this one?
Secular Rarity, thank you for your super chat, asks, Ethan, please read loud and clear for the people in the back. Erection. He wants you to say erection.
Erection. There you go.
So pink right now in the face. Gwen, in the beginning of this series, of this show, Ethan could hardly say the word masturbate.
That's true.
I think Daryl Ray was the one who was like, Ethan, I want, I always do like, Ethan, I want you to say the word masturbate without laughing.
And I said it and I turned beet red, but now I can say it without turning beet red. Like that's perfect. One of the reasons I like doing this show is because it's like, it's therapy for me in a way. It's exposing me to like all these sex conversations should be okay. I shouldn't be ashamed to have them. So by forcing myself to have them, it gets me more and more comfortable with these situations.
Absolutely. And honestly, I love Daryl and his talks about masturbation. I'll be quite upfront. I was raised in an environment where you did not touch yourself at all for anything. If you were cleaning it down there, you had a washcloth or something in between you. You did not physically touch you. And honestly, all right, I'm going to make you blush, Ethan, with this masturbation story. So I'd read Daryl's books and I decided I am going to learn to masturbate. So I poured the bubble bath. I got the wine. I had the soft music. I went in and I tried. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I tried. And I came out and, you know, I dried off and I came in and, you know, the man I was with at the time was really eager for me to learn how to do this because apparently guys like to watch you masturbate. You know, I didn't know this. I didn't know this was a thing. I do now. So I do know how now. Okay.
okay. But, good.
I came out and he was like, well, do you want me to take care of you? I was like, I don't deserve it if I can't do it.
Oh my gosh. No. That is super interesting. So that wasn't that. Well, I guess it's probably.
That was about 6 years ago.
Come on. You got to be masturbating way earlier than that, guys. Everybody.
You should. You should.
Get it with your bean.
Wait, are we supposed to talk about what age we started if we're under the age of 18?
Like, I think most of us were underage. Not most of us, but like a lot of people, that's kind of when it happened.
I was underage when it happened. I think I was like 11, 12 when I had my first orgasm. And it was like, oh my God, what just happened to me?
You're like, I break it?
Yeah, I'm like, what's going on right now? I don't understand this. It felt good, but I don't get what just happened.
I always hear guys say, like, the first time they didn't shoot a blank, they're like, what the fuck? It's like, for a while, because they're like, you know, they haven't actually, like, started producing any sperm, and then all of a sudden it happens. They're like, what the fuck?
Yes. Did I break it? I hear that a lot. You know, I thought I broke it. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I want to, so I would love to hear more about your show, Gwen.
Yes. So, one of the things that I have been able to do is I have a show called Gwen's Day. It's on Nude Radio, and it's every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. It is not in a format that you can hear any time other than Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Nude Radio is on, it's a streaming radio station on Live 365, and it's Nude Radio by naked people, for naked people, for people who like naked people. And so it is 24/7 music. And my show, I try to have, usually have about 11 songs. And again, because of my background, what's really fun is that if I pick a topic, I don't have a lot of bias for the songs because I don't know a lot of the songs. And so I go out and I search and I listen and I find out what I like. And then I like to share a little bit of things that are informational. I like to share some things that make you smile. And I also like to talk about, you know, the positivity about being a nudist. And it's a little bit of a creative outlet for me while I'm still not retired and working a full-time job.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah. So yeah, we will put that information in description once we gather that from Gwen, but okay. So it's like actual, like a radio show. Like, so there's,
yes.
There's
music. Yeah. You've got to tune in it. You got to tune in and there's an app or a website. If you go to Facebook, we have Nude Radio is one of the pages. If you search Nude Radio, you'll come up. You should see a couple in the waves splashing. Those are my friends who actually own the radio station. And they're just wonderful. And you know, we were just sitting around drinking one night and we were like, we should do a show. What should we call it? I don't know. And all of a sudden my friend was like, oh, we should do it on Wednesdays and call it Gwen's Day. So
that's perfect.
That's a creative name.
Yes. Yes.
Someone in the chat just linked your show.
Oh, thank you.
In the description right now.
There we go.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, Secular Rarities on that. How long have you been doing that?
Just over a year and a half. Well, I started, I think, June of last year. So year and a quarter, you know. But it's been pandemic, so it's like extra long, like dog years. Like it's, yeah.
So.
Just in case, I want to remind everyone that after the show, Hannah and I hop into Discord for a few minutes and, you know, welcome everyone from the audience to join us and chat along. Sorry, please continue.
What is, I think I might know the answer because we kind of talked about this a little bit, but what do you think is like the most, like, I don't want to say your favorite part about that because it's too broad, but just like the one big like thing you've taken away that is like most precious to you about moving into this lifestyle.
Us is a community connection with other people. It's, you know, being able to really connect with others on a very non-artificial level. You know, I just feel like the connections with others is just more real and valuable. I got COVID early on and I was in my house for 2 months. I had no human connection with anyone. I like to say, you know, the dog died, the kids are grown, the divorce is final, and I'm living my best life. But when I got COVID, it meant I lived by myself for 2 months. And I was never alone because people would drive by and talk to me from the road. One night, a group of my friends, they came and they left food on my porch, and then they stood in the driveway or in the road and they sang to me. You know, they brought their guitars and they just sang. And I just, yeah, you know. And then the best part though was one morning, some of my friends, it was Easter morning, and some of my friends dressed up as Easter bunnies and delivered Easter baskets to my house. But my other friends were down the road a little bit and couldn't see and thought it was actually like medics in hazmat suits coming.
They're just rabbits. Like, oh no, Gwen's dying. And they just like,
yes, yes.
Everything's wiggling as they run.
Yeah. So it's really the really real connection. And I think like when I left being very Christian, one of the things I loved there was the community. But what I love about the community here is how accepting it is. Like, I live my life as a poly solo. I'm happily single. I have no interest in changing that. But
so for clarity, poly solo, is that polyamorous, but you do it by yourself?
Yes. So I have no primary. So a lot of poly people, they have like a primary or secondaries. And so I don't live with anybody. I don't have any, you know, entanglements. You know, I get to, you know, the one thing I do say is if I'm going to go out with you for the night or the weekend, I'm with you. That's, you know, that's what I've chosen to do with my time. And, you know, it works for me right now. I'm not one. I'll definitely say one of the things I've learned is to never say never. Because if you had found me like 10 years ago and said, oh, what do you think of the idea of you living in a nudist place? I'd have been like, you're talking to the wrong person, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's wonderful. I feel like when you are vulnerable in such a, I don't want to say unique way because everyone can be naked, but it's unique to like our culture. Like
it really is.
We don't really have like our culture just isn't nude for the most part. Right. So it's, I guess it is pretty unique, but you're being vulnerable in such a unique way with people. It's, I would imagine that the connections you build with people are very genuine and wonderful.
It actually, I don't know if you've heard of like Hidden Brain is one of the podcasts I love to listen to. And they had an episode about, you know, different types of religious cultures and other type things. And they said that one of the things that sociologists have found is that when there's a high cost of membership, there's a high level of trust. And so the more you have to invest to be part of a community, the more the community feels they can trust you. And when you take your clothes off and you're vulnerable, you are saying, hey, I'm open. I, you know, and it just creates a higher level of trust and connectivity.
That's really interesting. That's really cool. It's like, yeah, that absolutely makes sense. I mean, I think for a lot of people, taking off your clothes would be a very high cost thing. Like it would take a lot for someone to do that. And if you're willing to do that to like be part of something, then yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you all really have each other's backs and
someone messaged her.
Okay. Well, we only have 10 minutes left, but oh my gosh, maybe her computer died or something.
At least it happened at like towards the end of the show.
I know. At least we had all this time. She's probably like, oh, shit. Oh, no. Did your computer die? Okay.
Well, anyway, let me thank our top tier patrons. Cindy Plaza, Kenneth Leonard, Sky, Jump and Shoot, Oz, Secular Rarity, Philip Leach, Caitlin Beyond, Toast, Richard Gilliver, Sunset Sarge, Blazing Wizard Pope, Amit Matthew, Ray Sylvester, and Kyle Brewer. Thank you so much for your patronage. And we have Gwen back.
Yes!
I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, it just like shut down.
I was thinking at least it's like 10 minutes till we're done.
Yeah,
But I was like, no, I want to say goodbye.
Yeah. And like, okay, so seriously, I told a bunch of my, oh, be a nudist in this life. Come on.
Yeah, what do you have to lose?
Come yes.
On. You get one life. Be naked. My dad.
And,
yeah, go ahead.
Seriously? Okay, so if you go to the AANR website, you can find nudist places near you. Now, in Kentucky, you're not going to find any place. In Kentucky, it is illegal for to have a public nudity.
That's no surprise.
Yeah. So, but most of the country, there are nudist communities or nudist beaches. Go to one not close to your house. But at the same time, remember, if you meet somebody there that you know, they're there too. You know, so you have a shared secret, but give it a try, you know, and it might not be for you, but it might be, and you'll never know until you try it.
Yeah.
I'd like to read this super chat from Left, Right, Left. Thank you. I'm so jealous of your confidence. I can't decide whether I'd be more likely to go skydiving or be naked in public. Skydiving only because I've really wanted to try it. I'm terrified of it, but I totally do want to at least experience that once in my life.
I've done both. Now you got to go skydiving whilst naked.
I'd be down for that. Ethan, Hannah, next excursion, we'll do an outing, skydiving naked.
Naked skydiving, recovering from religion. And
I wonder if that's legal or illegal.
I wonder if the wind would hurt your skin.
Well, you have to fly down with someone. So we'd have to then you'd have to be strapped to somebody who's nude as well.
You know what? I don't want the straps there if I'm naked.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Question from Amit Matthew. What's the attrition rate from nudist colonies / communities? Do you have a lot of people who join and then leave?
So I don't know if there's an exact number. I know there have been, you know, a number of people who have come in just as for the day and we haven't seen them again. But for the most part, you know, what we see is people come for the weekend and they end up moving in here and living here. My neighbor, they came for a weekend and they actually only came here because the place they were going to, the reservations didn't work out. And they came for a weekend. They were like, oh, we'll stay a little longer. They stayed a little longer. Then they bought the house next to me and now they live here full time. And I came down here. You know, I did the nudist thing for a day. It was just going to be a day. And even my first day, we, you know, the guy I was with then and now, we left going, we'll do this again, but, you know, who knows when. And like 2 days later, I was like, I need to go back, you know.
That's how I feel. And I also have like weird tan lines from when I went on this boat trip. It wasn't a nude boat trip, but I'm like, I need to go back to that beach because I need to get rid of these weird tan lines. And also I had so much fun.
Yes. Yes. Now as a redhead with pale skin, and honestly, this is the question I get asked the most. Have you really been a nudist this long? You're awful pale. And I'm like, I use 100 proof sunscreen. Oh wait, no, I drink 100 proof. I use 100 SPF sunscreen. Sorry, bad joke.
Okay. I was like, oh, that was like kind of on purpose.
It was
so flawless. I didn't even catch it. I was just like, oh, okay. She meant.
Yeah. And then, you know, I stay in the shade, you know, I do have to be careful because of the sun, you know, with my skin, but no, more often than and I was telling this story about 3 months ago, I met a couple who came here for the first time and I was talking to them and I said, so how long are you staying? And they said, oh, we think we're going to leave Tuesday or Wednesday, but we're not sure. And I said, okay. So we talked a little bit longer and I heard how into the life and the, our, our community they were. And so as I went to say goodbye, I said, okay, great. I'll see you next weekend. And they're like, no, 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 we're leaving Wednesday. I said, no, I heard you talking. I'll see you next weekend.
No, I'm going to see you again.
Yes. And they were there next weekend. And,
amazing.
Yeah. So really it's more about the number of people who think they're going to try it as a one-off or like bucket list or to tell their story. And next thing you know, they're moving in.
I feel like most people who make that step to try it probably really want to do it. So like,
yeah.
It's just,
sorry, I got distracted for a moment. There is a troll in our Discord and I had to immediately revoke them, but also good news. So we have awesome call screeners and they prevent trolls from getting through. But what they do is they put them in purgatory hell. So we've had a troll waiting on hold for like 45 minutes and we're not going to pick them up, but we just wasted 45 minutes of their time. So
yay!
Hey, fuck off.
So hope you enjoyed the show.
They were like, hey, I'm going to show them.
And yeah, didn't work. Thank you. Thank you to our lovely call screener, Secular Rarity.
Well,
And I got to read the super chat from Bryce Aroni. Oh. I'll go around naked before I skydive. Totally scared of heights. I'm scared of heights too, but it just sounds fun.
More than being
anyways,
naked
ready to wrap up?
I suppose so. This has been so much fun.
I know. I so enjoyed you guys. And there's just, oh my goodness, you guys are wonderful. And yeah, nothing like a little bit of Crown Royal to make friends.
That's right. That was like the best night ever. Guys, you got to go to Recovering From Religion Excursion. It's a blast.
Yes.
And that's actually where we met Gwen. And it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm so glad we met. And thank you so much for your time and sharing this with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Ethan, do your thing.
Yeah. Sorry. Thanks, everyone. Make sure you like, subscribe, and join Hannah and I for the Discord after show. And then coming back this Tuesday will be The Perspective, a show where we tackle paranormal and supernatural beliefs, conspiracy theories, belief in aliens, and pretty much any claim you want to bring us, hosted by Kenneth Leonard and Dave Warnock. And that starts at 7 p.m. Central Time next Tuesday. Gwen, be fresh. Thank you so much for doing the show with us. Hannah, always a pleasure.
Hey.
Oh, what?
Oh, I love your background.
Thank you. I wasn't pointing to it, but
I just noticed it.
Yeah, if you go to clothing optional beaches, typically there's a sign that's like, watch out, you might see naked people. I was going to say Faithless Form, November 19th to the 21st. Ethan will be there. I will be there.
Plug that every week.
Yes, because book your tickets, book your hotel rooms. It's going to be a blast. It's basically like VidCon for atheists. I hope to see you guys there.
Same.
Gwen, thank you again. Guys, thank we you. Will be posting her link so you can find her on Noon Radio on Wednesdays. Thank you so much.
Good night.